So, we're going to salute the flag. I, President of the flag, United States of America, to the Republic of which stands one nation, liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Begin with the public, public comment here and general questions. Does anyone want to speak on general topics, special permits approval? This would be the time. If there's no one, then I guess I'll make a motion to close the public comment period. Can I second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Riddell. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, approval of Treasury report. Someone please make a motion.
I make a motion to approve the Treasury report. Trustee Mark Cameron moved to approve the resolution that the payment of general fund claim in total $808,715.28 set forth the pay period of the monthly expenses dated August 20, 2024, after meeting with hereby approved soccer to individual orders by the Board of Trustees. The payrolls of August 23, 2024, September 6, 2024, September 20, 2024, as set forth in the payment amount of $11,972.18, $12,017.67, $12,101.94, respectively, and hereby submitted for approval, subject to the individual orders by the Board of Trustees. Can I get a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Greenwald. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. It passes 4-0-1. Thank you. Approval of minutes from the village board meeting of August 19th and September 12th. Can someone please make the motion to approve? There's no amendments that anyone wants to make to the minutes. Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from August 19th, 2024 and September 12th, 2024 without any additions. On the second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Greenwald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, passes 4-0-1. Okay, Dave, the floor is yours.
Good evening.
Oh, thank you.
So, item number 6, JB 24, is scheduled for Saturday, September 2nd. It's at 7:30 p.m. The concept will feature a Pomona resident, Dr. Silver, and guest performance. The proposed project for the event is $800 for the musician and $150 for hospitality, for the total of $950. The autumn exhibition is scheduled to open Sunday, September 22nd, with an opening reception the following Sunday, September 29th, from 5 to 8 p.m. with artists are Arden Demer, painting, Susan Lewis, Dr. Watercolor, and Daniel Siege, wood manager. The live performance will feature Jeremy Ward, Bird, and Don Gargusa, Tipper Group. The event will be streamed live on YouTube. The public theater will access with the live streaming, and a light refreshment will be served. There will be a full program on Sunday, October 20th at 6 p.m., a complimentary stage reading of the new musical, The Mountain of Burning, book and lyrics by Pomona resident Mary Ellen Bernard, and music by Pomona resident Paul Rosson. The production feature a cast of 10 actors and will be followed by a question and answer with the creator and a brief background of the play. Set in 1902, Our community faces a choice to stand by or to engage in their struggle against the cold beverage. I would like to the board, the mayor, to go to approve the budget of $950 for the open concert scheduled for Saturday, November 2nd.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to approve the expenditure of $950 for the next performance of the Cultural Center. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zaydel. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes 4-0-1. Thank you, Gidey, for all you're doing. Great to see you without the cane.
Thank you.
Good, healthy year, Gidey.
Good.
Thank you, Gidey.
Thank you. Okay, new business. I think that since I'll make a motion to open the public hearing for the special permit for 34 North Lake Road.
Second
by Mr. Greenwald. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The applicant can come and present it.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the board. My name is Dan Richmond. I'm a partner with the law firm Zarin and Steinmetz, 81 Main Street, Suite 415, White Plains, New York. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, the Chabad of the Heights, for a special permit to allow it to erect a tent at 34 North Ridge Road to temporarily host religious services while the bond process is an application for a permanent structure on the site. As the honorable board will recall, your board issued a special permit to the applicant for a house of worship on the property on January 29, 2023. Unfortunately, as I'm sure the board is also aware, the building to be used for the house of worship was recently destroyed as a result of a fire. Accordingly, the applicant wishes to erect a tent for religious use while it processes an application for a special permit of a house of worship to replace the destroyed facility. The applicant understands that your board takes the position that a special permit is required for the temporary erection of a tent for a house of worship, and the applicant has complied with the board by duly filing an application for a special permit. And the applicant respectfully asks that your board treat the application with urgency because the Jewish religious holidays begin next week. As your board is aware, New York law holds that it is well established as a matter of public policy that educational and religious uses of land are presumed to have a beneficial effect on the community. And because of this presumed beneficial effect, New York law establishes, quote, that religious and educational uses enjoy special treatment with respect to residential zoning ordinances because these institutions presumptively serve the public welfare and morals. Requisite special treatment for religious and educational uses means that, quote, greater flexibility is required in evaluating an application for religious use than an application for another use, and every effort must be made to accommodate the religious use. The legally mandated flexibility, which is grounded in the constitutionally protected status of free exercise of religion, requires that a municipality may not deny a religious institution on the basis of factors which might justify the exclusion or restriction of commercial establishments, including traffic hazards and decreased enjoyment of neighboring properties. Stated somewhat differently, a municipality may not demand that a religious institution show no ill effects or result from the proposed use, because such a requirement is judicially recognized to fail to recognize the educational religious uses ordinarily have inherent beneficial effects that must be weighed against their potential harm. Rather, there is an affirmative duty on the part of local boards to suggest measures to accommodate planned religious uses without causing the religious institution to incur excessive costs while mitigating their detrimental effects on the health, safety, and welfare. Moreover, as your board is aware, the Federal Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, or RLUIPA, prohibits the implementation of the land use regulations in a manner that imposes a substantial burden on religious exercise, which can occur where religious use has no ready alternative to its proposal, or where alternatives will require substantial delay, uncertainty, or expense. Here, the applicant has provided a site plan demonstrating that the tent will be erected in the center of the property and in compliance with all applicable zoning bulk requirements. The tent will be used by those residents from the neighborhood. Inasmuch as your board is aware, the religious practices of the members require them to walk to services on high holy days and the Shabbat. As such, the tent will not have the potential for significant adverse traffic impacts. The project also provides 10 parking spaces as required by Village Code, and these parking spaces will be located on the existing paved driveways. Again, however, it's important to note that the tent will be used for the Jewish religious high holidays, the Shabbat, when members do not drive. The tent will be placed on a flat area near the center of the property, requiring minimal land disturbance. It has no potential for erosion or flooding impacts. Moreover, the tent will comply with the state building and fire codes. And the applicant has already submitted a building permit application to the village for the tent, which confirms this. Accordingly, we respectfully request that your board act on the special permit application this evening so that the Chabad has sufficient time to erect the tent in advance of the Jewish holidays that start next week. We're happy to answer any questions. I'm with Josh Levitin of the Levitin Design Group and also Mark Motis, the applicant rep. So if the board has any questions, we're happy to answer.
Any questions? Maybe I'll have a few, but maybe we'll give other people a chance also. So maybe we'll collect all the questions that people might have and we'll have you.
Yeah, usually we'll have you come back up after people from the public have spoken to address whatever issue you want to address.
Thank you.
So maybe Richmond and Mr. Levitin maybe should take notes if people have questions and get a little
absolutely
address them all.
Thank you.
Together. Jenna, can you call people who
yeah.
Pat Hart? I'm not going to need to use my phone, and I kind of think this is blocks the view of some people, so if you don't mind, I'll stand and go with it. Thank you. I did have, maybe I just have questions. The tent, I believe, is 3,000 square feet.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Hello?
No, we're not going to have back and forth. They'll note your questions, and then they're going to come back up after people spoke.
Oh, okay. So they're coming. All
right. Right now, the comments are just to the board.
Okay, fine.
The applicants will be listening.
There isn't any reference to the size of the tent. I believe, based on this little tiny diagram, that it's 3,000 square feet. I also, if it's 3,000 square feet, then there wasn't a statement as to how many people you were expecting to participate or to be there. If it's like 3,000 square feet, that can hold 375 people. If you're saying 375 people walking down Northridge is not going to impact the traffic, I'm not so sure how you come about that statement. Based on my experience on Haley and the need for Haley to have a private police guard to manage the traffic and the conversation that goes on between the people attending versus the people that are driving. So I'm not sure how you can say that the traffic is not impacted. I think those. Oh, and I was concerned. I heard you say that you were going to meet the fire standards. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with a tent, but based on the prior experience, I did have a concern about the safety of heating the tent. I think that's it for me and my question. Oh, and the waste. I don't see any provision for waste. I know you're having 4 bathrooms for 300 people. I'm not sure how that would work. And where you plan, what type of waste management or lighting you're providing. Thank you.
Thank you. Jenna, anything else?
Yes. Eli? I don't want to butcher your last name. Last name's with a W. Eli? 106 Overlook Road is your address? Oh, okay. It's right there.
Evening.
Seeing board, I didn't realize that I signed up to speak in second person, but thank you for your time.
This is the full name and address for
sure. Eli Waxall, 106 Overlook.
I moved into this neighborhood a little bit over a year. I moved there with my wife and 4 beautiful children. We have 5 children. One of them, named Shimon, 4-year-old boy at the time. His first shul experience, first time in his life, was at that location. That location that went up in flames one morning. Shimon watched the smokes. The first holiday that he experienced in a shul was Simchat Torah, the holiday that we dance and rejoice with the Torah in our hands. He had a little Torah. It's a toy Torah, but nonetheless, for him, it's the Torah that matters. He entrusted that Torah in the Aron HaKodesh over there that went up in smoke along with Yom Kippur. Shimon is attending now a different shul. Nonetheless, every single time he walks past that site, he remembers the original shul, the first shul he ever experienced. So this is not just about a permit for a tent. The location matters. It's not about a place of worship. There are plenty of other places we can worship. It's about that location. It's about restoring faith, stability, and hope into the hearts of our children. Thank you very much, people.
Thank you.
Sylvia Watford?
Here. W-A-T-F-O-R-D, correct?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Good evening. I believe in religion because I'm a believer of my God, and I appreciate people who do believe in God. What I don't appreciate is that one group thinks that everybody else should just honor them and them only. When we talk about the quality, the environment, and in here you say that it's not going to significantly impact us. How do you come to that conclusion? And the reason I'm saying that, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have facilities that you practice your religion in, but it shouldn't be at my expense. Every Saturday when I'm coming down Halo Drive, I have issues because people are standing in the street and they expect me to stop because they're standing in the street. It's a public road, and everybody should honor the laws that's applied for that public road. So the fact that we're now saying that we want another religious facility, one and a half blocks away from where we are right now. So how do people get around? How do I get around? I mean, I I respect the fact that you walk. I respect the fact that you should be walking on the side of the road as opposed to all the way across the road, because that impacts me. I have a small child, just like you have a small child, and Monday, I should say Sunday through Saturday, it's kind of dangerous because people are flying up and down the road. So if you're going to respect, I expect me to respect your walking, then I think we should have the same respect when you guys are driving. So from that perspective, when I look through this, there are a bunch of conclusions that say it's not going to impact me. How did you come up with that? I don't think anybody that's talked to me has given me any plans until today when I put this up. And this doesn't give us a lot of detail as to what's going on. It doesn't give us the size. And when there was a building on that property, you were supposed to adhere to certain laws because there was a footprint. There's no longer a footprint. What applies now? I need to know that. Okay? Thank you very much for listening, and I hope that as a group, we all live in this community together and that we all respect each other's rights.
Deep here. Got you. Okay. And you want me just to put this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going on, and I am afraid for my safety. So you want my name? My name is Deborah, Dr. Deborah DeFore Pierce. Okay?
D-E-B-O-R-A-H?
No, my name is Deborah, D-E-B-R-A. So, I just played...
Brian, do you need the address too, or can I just put Pomona?
Pomona.
I know, I have to ask the attorney.
Okay.
That's fine? Okay.
And yes, you have it. And yes, you know me. You all know me, especially trustees who were present on that day. So, everybody wants to find out what the impact of this rebuild will be. Again, I was walking on Haley, and I got accosted, assaulted by a resident. So, my question is, what plan do you have to ensure, secure the general welfare of Pomona drivers, such as myself, and those pedestrians who are walking in the middle of the streets on Saturdays, holidays, and non-holidays? 4 to 5 people across the street with children on the outside next to traffic, and everyone back away from traffic. There are many residents who feel that they can occupy, obstruct traffic on public streets without obeying safety measures. And these measures are implemented to safeguard drivers and pedestrians. These residents, as you've heard, are spewing racist, hatred, attacks after immediately leaving their house of worship when car horns are honked at them to let them know that oncoming traffic is approaching. That is all I did. They are walking with their backs against traffic and refuse to follow the New York State vehicle and traffic laws, which could be found in the handbook under code 1156, which states sidewalks are not provided, when sidewalks are not provided, pedestrians walking along a roadway shall walk only on the left side of the roadway or its shoulder facing approaching traffic. When vehicles approach, pedestrians shall move as far left as practicable. Here is the law. If you're not familiar with it, here it is, because no one follows it. Here it is. So, as Board of Trustees who serve this diverse, equitable, inclusive village of Pomona, which has always been such, how do you support all of Pomona's residents by not just walking away when you see racist attacks? On longtime village residents, as stated, one of the roles of a village trustees, as I quote, the Board of Trustees is also empowered to enact local laws for the safety, health, comfort, general welfare of the residents of the village for the preservation and protection of public works such as roads. So how do you plan to ensure the general welfare, protect, preserve Pomona residents when this new structure is built among $750,000 plus homes from exposure to catastrophic and horrific fires that threaten us and our homes? Will laws be completely be enforced regarding smoke detectors, sprinkler systems, and alarms? Thank you very much.
Sylvia Watford. I'm so sorry. You are right. I was underneath this one. I'm sorry. Sharon Green is next.
Trespassing through my property on Saturday evening. My lights come on as soon as they come walk through. My cameras record them. That's one thing. The second complaint, I had a resident walking along Tamarack Lane, and she actually accessed my mailbox. That's against the law. Okay? I will be filing charges against them if I see this again. Everything is recorded on my property. As soon as you walk on the property, my cameras let you know that they're recorded. Okay? Secondly, you know, I don't want to have to tell people not to come through the property. Let them know not to come through the property when my lights come on and I'm recording them. But I will be going to the police department and filing charges against the other residents.
Thank you. Mr. Arnowitz, Brian Arnowitz.
Deborah is two houses down from you, but and I apologize that I've lived there since 98, but we've never really met so high.
I know you.
That's my fault, actually. And I've raised five kids at my house, too. My house is located directly next to 34 Northridge. There are woods between us, which caught on fire the day of the fire, but the firemen did an unbelievable job and they saved my house. But I did have to leave with, you know, all my kids and my two dogs and my wife. And it just seems to me that that area is very susceptible to some sort of an event. Like that, because of the number of people. I'm not against religious practice at all. I applaud it, actually, but I would think that that there should be some serious consideration upon building anything that size there again, that attracts that many people, simply because you increase the odds of anything like that happening again. And other than that, I can just tell you that, and Deborah does not need me to vouch for her. She has many friends and neighbors in the area, but in the 25, 26 years now that I've lived in the area, I've only heard unbelievably positive things about her and how she respects and just gets along in our neighborhood.
Thank you, Mr. Arnowitz. I'm not sure how to pronounce your first name. Mr. Crispin? Thank you, sir.
Good evening. My name is Masluf Krisim. I live in 27 South Ridge Road in Pomona. I want to start, Dr. Deborah, anyone who spoke to you in a foul language, it is not acceptable. but it has nothing to do with our religion. It does not represent who we are at all. I think that is completely unacceptable. However, we heard before that some people are concerned about people walking in the street in the middle of the night. Not having the tent on the high holidays will make things a lot worse when people have to walk a lot longer distances, sometime in the dark of the night. And we want to avoid it for the safety of all, the drivers and those who can't drive during the high holidays. We have no other option to commute to the synagogue other than walking by foot. This is our religious and we're not going to break it. In order to make things safe, we must have another synagogue. And since our synagogue was burnt, we have no other way other than to make a temporary one for the high holidays. So we can walk to shul, not 3 miles. Some of the people told me they're walking 3 or 4 miles. And they are doing it with their little children during the night. And we want to avoid it. It's not safe. The shorter distance you walk, the better it is for the community. As the concern we heard before about people walking in the wrong side of the road, this is a separate issue and it needs to be addressed because we all want to keep our community safe. We want to make sure that we're welcoming each other, no matter where you came from and what your background and what your religion. We, as a Jewish community, want to respect your religion. Please do the same for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Mr. David Delush? I thought that's what it looked like.
D-E-R-U-S-H.
Oh, hold on. D-E-R-U-S. Okay, fixed it. Thank you so much, sir.
Hi, good evening. Good evening, everybody. I wanted to thank everybody for this opportunity to come share some of my thoughts. I also feel some of the same concerns that are being voiced here tonight, specifically with regards to congestion and traffic. It's true that there really is a problem, especially on Haley, when we're walking all of us to shul. We've got people coming up the hill, people coming down the hill. What we're seeing right now are multiple communities having to meet at a single location. And I myself have experienced, you know, cars coming up, cars coming down in situations that are not safe. At our old location, for many of us, it's literally just a walk 3-4 houses down. It'll keep a lot of people from having to make that extra walk and clogging up, especially on Haley. There's far too many people having to be on Haley during the high holidays and Shabbos. And I think it'll actually make things a lot safer, which will probably hopefully address a lot of the concerns I'm hearing tonight. That's one issue that I was concerned about. But I also just want to say that every different shul and every different community center has a soul of its own. And for the community that davens, that prays at that location, that is the location that allows us to express ourselves as who we are and what we want to do. And with our location, we're not the same community. So I just wanted to say that as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, Andrew Person. I sent an email.
Oh, yes, they have it. And
is anyone else?
Yeah, I gave it to them. So.
Okay. Can I also add some verbal comments?
I have to, let me read the ad. Hold on a second. Yeah.
Thank you. Andrew Gerson, 28 North Reef Road. Been part of the community here for over 20 years. And unfortunately, I was there right at 5:45 in the morning watching the shul burn down. It was very emotional and was deeply impacted by it. And I have to say that safety is of most concern. And it's fire safety, it's traffic safety. I understand what could happen and has happened, and I witnessed myself. I walk 4 miles a day in this neighborhood. You might see me sometimes walking around, and you'll see me in the winter or in the summer, I'll wear an orange. I see the neighborhood, and I see the rush to get to a minyan in the morning. The craziness driving of getting to the minyan creates a hazard. I see people parking in misoriented ways, opposite traffic, not following rules, blocking hydrants, blocking stop signs. I see now a picture of at least 10 cars around the building. Now, common sense tells me if an emergency vehicle needs to get in there to help, to extinguish, I witnessed that, and I can't imagine how quickly they can actually penetrate that building with 10 vehicles around it. It becomes a hazard in itself, and it's right there in front of us. So, I'm suggesting that we build back better. I understand what's in front of us, but I think we need to build back better. And if we build back better, that includes satisfying the needs of all participants. And it needs to be thoughtful and not to be rushed into the upcoming holidays in 10 days. The date didn't just appear on the calendar, it's been there. So, I'm asking the board, my statement to the board is, let's build back better, let's build back safer, let's satisfy the needs of the community, and let's do it with an open heart. And don't feel rushed. I understand the holiday is here, but somehow we've had 300 minions, we've had afternoon prayers and evening prayers, morning prayers. We know that people tend to park illegally overnight, and yes, people aren't walking to shul. That's a misnomer. Maybe you have 10% of your community walking to shul, but 90% of those communities is going and driving to the shul, leaving their car there over Shabbos, and that creates a hazard. A hazard where I live, an emergency vehicle can't get in there, and can't get through these streets. And the traffic safety, fire safety, and overall safety. So that's what I'm most concerned with. And again, I put that in a letter, a brief letter, focusing on that. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
I got your name from the seat. You don't have to come out here. The next person, Kwani Trey Green. Sir? Thank you.
My name is Paul A. Frey Green. I'm from Kamak Lane. I've been resident in Pomona about 28 years now. And there was a few concerns I have as well as being in the area. More is the traffic concerns going on. There are people speeding in the area, a lot of children. And that is a major concern for myself.
myself, but I have children. Just the other day, 2 weeks ago, a guy came flying down the hill. I don't know if he was looking or not. He was going right around the corner from my mother's house. I had to grab my daughter just in case she was laying out. That's one concern I have. We also have a concern of there's a fire pit that's in the back of our house that's not up to code. It's not supposed to be there from what I understand. I don't know when it got there. So we have the next one named Chris. Because we have the corner property. I don't know if that's familiar with our area. Are you? Somewhat? Oh, okay.
What's the exact?
It's right behind the house. If we have to send my mother's house here, there's another house right here that was recently purchased about 2 or 3 years ago. And now all of a sudden there's a fire pit back there that should have never been. And then obviously my mother over here addressed the concern of people walking through the backyard and everything, trespassing on the property. We also had a person that, again, same person that just moved over here, tried to go build a fence on our property. I don't know where they got the idea of trying to build a fence. I don't know who they went to. They don't even know where their property line begins or ends. So that person coming in there doing excavation in the area and everything. I'm like, what's going on here? Why are you back here? Oh, well, I'm down here tonight. Yeah. We still have the blueprints for our house. We know why our property line begins or ends. So that was the issue we addressed there being at that point. But yes, that fire pit in back is a concern because you just got finished speaking of fires. Now, if you back in the woods, you have a fire pit out there. Imagine an ambush, something hits a tree. You're going to go up back there. Oh, that's only like a freaking 5-alarm fire. And no fire truck is getting back there to put that out. I'm telling you that now. If y'all ever have seen the area, you have schematics of it. That fire pit needs to be taken down and removed. I don't know who authorized them to put that back there or how it got back there. So if that's something that we can address, I hope.
Mr. Monks? Mayor Monks?
Good evening, board members. My name is Mayor Lankus. I'm a 45 Andy Drive. I'll never forget the fateful morning. In the morning, the sound of the sirens coming to the corner of Northridge and Overlook. Smoke, tears, the congregation, nothing but love. It's a place where Jewish people from all walks of life, whether religious or not, Hasidic or not, could come and practice the freedom of religion, a God-given right in our country. Anyone who has ever joined our congregation could attest to that. We have always been, we are, and we will always respect the larger community and the neighborhood. Many people move to this community specifically to join this congregation. It's not our fault that this disaster happened, and we're not asking for pity. We lost a lot on that day, but our sense of hope, togetherness, and strength, that we did not lose. All we're asking for is a chance to come together again as a congregation and continue spreading the love throughout the community. I urge, request, that every member of this council approve the permit. Thank you.
Rabbi Neuberger?
I've been with this community the last 2.5 years up the hill on 8 weeks court, and I want to just give up on what I have witnessed. My mother's best member was a student at Pembroke at Brown University. She worked for 25 years as a social worker. At the beginning, when she started, she had to go to all diverse neighborhoods like Brownsville, East New York, and so on and so forth. And she left you with this, that I should inspire people and teach people, educate people, as I do as a rabbi, and explain to everybody that's in the community what's proper. Now, we had a calamity, we had a fire. It's nothing to be apologetic about. I thank God for this fire that nobody, God helped us, that not one person even heard his finger in the fire. Not any one of the congregants, no one of the whole community. There is a possibility that people have to go away because there's some smoke, there's some this, there's some that. We have that all over in all communities in the whole world. Before we began this session over here this evening, we did proper, we pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and I'm asking that you should please lend me your ears and pay attention. The American government gives permission for Christian, Protestant, Episcopalian, and for Jewish synagogues to be all over the country for many, many years since this country was established and since the Constitution was signed. And we as a community, we don't just build buildings. We don't have bricks and houses and abodes and sanctuaries to pray and to entreat God for peace and for harmony. We also build the children and the people of our community that they should do what's proper. In other words, if people are doing things against the law, it could be by a Carvel ice cream, it could be by a Dunkin' Donuts, it could be by banks, it could be any place in the world. You always have people or single people that don't abide with the law. That has nothing to do with the congregation that's being built on harmony and love and peace and teaching all the congregants to live together and to be nice to all the people of the whole community. That's why many people are coming here to the hill, and we experience, I myself experienced in the synagogue when it stood, that many, many people found it wasn't just a house to pray to God, it wasn't a house to worship, to entreat God, to thank God, or to ask for requests or to praise. It was a home for everybody as a warm place, as a sanctuary, as a place of love and honesty. And that's what we teach and what we preach. And because of all this, I'm asking from the board to please be kind enough. We're not requesting here to build something new. We have been here all these years, and we are just promoting good, and we are just promoting niceness and kindness. So I'm asking you, please, let us, before the whole new year begins, we should start with the right foot and have our community together, and we should go on with our good deeds. Thank you very much for paying attention.
Thank you.
Congressman, can you please address Mr. Levitin if you something to follow your prerogative? Any comments at this point? Okay, you know what? Maybe Mr. Richmond, can you please address
my name is Joshua Levitin, Joshua Design Group. I'm going to briefly just discuss the fire.
Just the address of the office for the record.
5 Lansing Court, Green Valley, New York, 10977. I'm just going to briefly discuss the complaint about any sort of fire code or building code issues. This temporary tent will comply with all local and state fire building codes, that's including fire extinguishers, proper egress, fire exit signs, and anything else that would be required under law, under state and local law. We'll make sure to comply with. That's basically, I think, all I have to say based on those comments. If there's anything else the board would like to have me to address in terms of any comments, I'm more than happy to address. As per section 903, I believe there is not, due to it being a temporary tent. And it's also under, I believe it's under 10,000 square feet. I'm sorry. As per section 903 of the fire code, New York State Fire Code, a sprinkler will not be required for a temporary structure.
So can you elaborate on what will be required?
The requirements will be proper egress based on occupancy. We have submitted a life safety plan to the building department for review. That includes the proper sized egress doors, the proper mounted doors, proper location of exit signs, as well as locations of the fire extinguishers. To comply. Sorry?
How many fire extinguishers will be on the property?
I don't remember if we call offhand the number.
How do you put out a fire?
I'm sorry. Well, at this point, we cannot have an open discussion. So there will be you're saying there will be multiple requirements. Okay.
Right.
What else is required by the code?
I believe everything that I mentioned is required for a temporary structure. This is proper egress, the proper number, proper number of occupants.
Which is what?
With the. Based on the square footage and based on the use, the required is 157 persons. That's the maximum. We expect to have only 50 to 65 persons praying there on a daily basis, including the weekends. So we're way below the maximum amount.
I just do want to emphasize that, again, this is a temporary structure. The board previously granted a special permit for this same use. And I heard one of the speakers talk about they wanted us to build back better, and that's exactly what we intend to do. But that doesn't happen overnight. What we need to do overnight is allow for this congregation to pray for the high holidays that are coming next week by erecting a tent. If this were a wedding or a graduation party, no one would object to a tent, but because it's religious structure, I guess it raises different issues. But I think a lot of the concerns you heard this evening are exactly why New York state case law and the federal government have enacted RLUIPA, because there are people voice concerns. I think the Court of Appeals case, Cornell v. Bagnardi, which is a seminal case in this area, talks about the advent of cars brought about different issues that started creating opposition to religious and educational uses. And that's why courts need to step in as a backstop. But I don't think that's necessary here, because I have trust that your board will do the right thing. Because, again, this is a religious use. We have holidays coming up. We've submitted a plan for the tent that complies with the fire and building codes. It's obviously been subject to review by your building inspector. and the congregation is just looking forward to having the opportunity to pray in peace while it proceeds diligently with a special permit application for a more permanent structure.
When do you expect that permit application to come?
I would hope it's in the next few months, and then we will continue, you know, as our review periods with your board. You know, it's an iterative process as a result of interactions with your board. And we'll be taking that very seriously and proceeding. Because, again, the congregation wants a permanent home. They don't want to have to pray in a tent for too long.
Mr. Levin? I just have one question. As one of the residents, mentioned one of his concerns about his emergency vehicles getting there based on the way the parking structure is. You know, 70 cars going around and you have circular driveway and three cars. Is there a way to put parking spots on the other side of the tent?
On the left side rather than where it's now?
So allow emergency vehicles to get through, got the vehicle.
I think that area is, you know, the reason we're proposing parking where it is because that's where the paved area is. We don't want to create, you know, our whole idea in doing this temporary structure is not to create additional disturbance. I think if cars were parked to the left side, you need to do some, you know, groundwork there, which is not our intention.
I believe memory serves the very minimal disturbance if we move it to the left side. And again, it will, I think, also allow a little bit more parking, and I think also mitigate some concerns. I'm not saying do it in a week, but maybe by the end of the month, I think it's probably doable. Correct?
I mean, I can speak to that point.
Just one more, just to answer your question briefly, and the representative from the synagogue will speak after me. The current site plan does comply with the current fire code. It is within the certain maximum distance from the street that does not require a turnaround for fire apparatus. If the building was further than 50 feet from the street, then you would be required by law to install a fire apparatus lane that goes around the building. It's a one-story as well, which also negates the need for one, but it's something we could discuss. If the board requires it, it's something we could discuss.
I think it would be a better idea also because it will allow access
now. We hear you're, and it's something we're seriously going to take a look at if that can take place within the next month.
Within the next month, we'll take care of it.
We'll take a look. We'll do whatever is feasible to ensure. We understand what your objective is, that the fire trucks are being able to access the tent directly. And that by having parking on what you're referring to as the left side.
Okay. Beyond the issue which I just mentioned, it will be clear that parking must adhere to the existing code requirements, which means no overhead parking where it is not allowed. Our village has codes concerning that. I think it's pretty clear that, again, this is the code and the regiment Hoping that we can take care of the confidence that these rules need to be adhered to. And that is what we expect.
I know from our conversation with the congregation, it tends to be a good neighbor. It sounds like, I think, as you identify, this is an enforcement issue that people can bring their attention. But I certainly speak to the client to make sure that they emphasize to the congregation it should be compliant with all parking regulations.
I just want to mention one important factor regarding the parking situation. We've had numerous complaints in the past that came to myself, and I actually approached the congregation regarding the parking issue, and I do know that for the past couple of months before the fire, there was very, very limited parking on the streets. In fact, no parking on the streets because of the enforcement issue, police department, and also the people involved in the congregation specifically came to me and told me that there will be no parking on the streets. Other than the fact that there would be security for any type of event, I believe that that's what took place at all times. But as far as the parking is concerned, months before, it was already a significant slowdown, something that I saw, something that they, community members asked me to please take care of, and I did mention it to the people in the congregation, and they were very serious about it and did adhere to those parking issues.
Thank you, Mr. Chris. Thank you for sharing that.
Because will be expected to continue.
And we will continue to follow those that
So, any other questions? So, if you have any more questions, we could do so in a short term client meeting that we'll need to go upstairs. If not, we can continue the search. If you have any questions you would like to ask the attorney client, we have that possible. You would? Okay. So, what we will do is.
I would suggest that we take possible.
Okay. We will. I'll make a motion to close the public comment period. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Greenberg. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. 4-1 absent. Based on the consultation with the attorney, we'll have a motion on approval based on several conditions. Mr. Nugent, can you please read the conditions? Motion to the conditions.
So this is the proposed resolution before the board. Is a resolution approving special permit with conditions for a temporary house of worship at 34 Northbridge Road. With the board's consent, I'm going to skip the whereas paragraph and we'll just read the be it resolved portions that act as part of the resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved that section 1, the above whereas clauses are incorporated herein as it's set forth in full. Section 2, the village board declares itself as the agency for these purposes for this unlisted action. Section 3, the village board determines that the special permit application is hereby approved subject to the following conditions. Condition number 1, the special permit issued hereunder is only valid for 6 months from the date of this resolution. Condition number 2, street parking shall be permitted only on one side of the street, with such side to be determined by the village board for 750 feet of the proposed main entrance of the property containing the house of worship. Condition number 3, the applicant shall be required to maintain a minimum of 10 parking spaces on the subject property as delineated on the plan submitted to the village board. Condition number 4, the tent structure shall comply with all provisions of the building and fire code of the state of New York. Condition number 5, the tent structure shall be subject to inspection by the village building inspector prior to occupancy and use of the structure. Condition number six, the tent structure shall be subject to on-site inspection by the village building inspector once per month as determined in the discretion of the building inspector, and shall be inspected at a minimum in compliance with New York State Building and Fire Code requirements. Applicant, as a condition of the approval, consents to the building inspector's entry onto the subject property for inspection purposes. Condition number seven, applicant shall post a letter of credit or other form of security satisfactory to village legal counsel in the amount of $10,000 to ensure the removal of the tent structure upon the expiration of the special permit and order of the village building inspector. In the event of the failure to comply with the removal requirements, such security shall be subject to forfeiture. Condition number eight, within 4 months from the date of approval of this special permit, the applicant shall be required to submit an application for a permanent house of worship structure on the subject property. If the applicant does not intend to continue a house of worship use on the subject property, applicant shall so notify the village within such four-month period. Condition number nine, applicant shall make all reasonable efforts to minimize noise emanating from the tent structure and the subject property during the use of the structure, particularly during evening hours and early morning hours. Condition number 10, applicant at its expense shall arrange for removal of refuse from the site by a private carting service during the period that the subject property is being used for house of worship purposes. Condition number 11, applicant shall ensure that all lighting on the subject property is not directed onto neighboring properties and it is not directed toward public roadways in a manner that creates a risk of distraction and or reduced visibility to vehicles and pedestrians on the public roadways. Further lighting shall be turned off when the tent is not in active use. Such lighting shall be sufficient to provide illumination of access areas. Condition number 12, applicant shall comply with the applicable village code provisions concerning houses of worship and structure construction in addition to compliance with all applicable state building code provisions applying to houses of worship and tent structures, and shall comply with all applicable duly enacted laws and regulations pertaining to the health, safety, and welfare of occupants and visitors to the subject property. Condition number 13, applicant shall ensure that restroom facilities are provided on site and that such facilities are properly maintained and cleaned. Condition number 14, all electrical wiring shall be subject to a third-party UL inspection. Condition 15, no additional structure shall be erected on the site without application to the village, provided, however, that applicant may erect a sukkah on the subject property for religious use during the religious holiday of Sukkot and shall be removed within 7 days after the end of the holiday. Condition number 16, the special permit shall not authorize the construction of a permanent house of worship on the site. And condition number 17, no cooking appliances shall be permitted within the tent structure. Food warming facilities may be permitted in the tent for food prepared off-site, subject to building inspector review and approval. Section 4 of the resolution, the village hereby determines that the proposed action will not have any significant adverse environmental impacts and hereby issues a negative declaration pursuant to SECRA for the reasons set forth in Part 3 of the full environmental assessment form before the village board. Section 5, the mayor, in his absence or inability to act, the deputy mayor is hereby authorized to take any and all actions necessary to carry out the provisions of this resolution. Further, all employees, officials, consultants, as directed by the mayor or deputy mayor, are hereby authorized to take any and all actions necessary to carry out the provisions of this resolution. And section 6, this resolution shall be effective immediately. So if somebody desires to make that motion, they can do so now.
I will make a motion to approve the special permit with conditions for the temporary house of worship at 34 North Ridge Road. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Trustee Huber. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So based on these conditions, the special permit is issued. Later of the process, this is of course the consideration of the building inspector. So Mr. next item of business is the new mandates for FOIA requests for this new record.
Thank you.
minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were asking me. Sorry. I thought you were talking to each other. So we got a renewal comparison from Barrow Crowley, and it basically goes over the different areas of insurance coverage. And to summarize, the coverages are renewing with the property values increasing. The property values increased just over $108,000 due to inflation. But when you look at all of the three pages here, the cost that we would have to pay, like from last year to this year, is under $6,000 difference. Almost $6,000 more for the new policy. And the coverage is going to be the same for all areas. Actually, for all areas. I'm sure. Yeah, the coverage is the same. And for some areas, the coverage is actually additional coverage. For public officials' liability, we get additional coverage. For umbrella policy, additional coverage. And also, just those three areas, actually. So we do get additional coverage for that rate, and with the property values going significantly up. So I think it's very
thank
good.
Thank you so much. Yeah, just for the summary, the number is?
Just shy of 6,000.
And the increase is percent-wise was?
Increase of what?
From this year? Right? Was it there? This year?
Percentage-wise? Oh. They don't give percents.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was somewhere information percentage. Okay. All in all, I think
11%.
Yeah. All in all, it's I understand what Professor Greenberg is saying, but I think it's unfortunately signs of the times. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you know, everybody's home and everybody's insurance went up. My car insurance went up for everybody.
And again, it's not just, I mean, as far as litigation, I think all our, past year, I think we were very, very clean. Our nose was very clean. So this is just a result of the current economy. This is not a result of any specific event as far as the village. So just see what happens next year. So I would say we should probably adopt this. We need a motion, correct?
Yes, sure.
So I'll make a motion to adopt the offer made presented by our insurance broker. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Greenwald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0-1. For old business,
sorry, that was Mark that seconded it. My pen was running out.
Trustee Greenwald.
Sorry.
Trustee Greenwald, I think, made the motion.
Runwald.
And it was seconded by...
Oh, talking about.
No, you made the motion, Elon.
Yes,
I got that.
As far as Super Park, the hope is that within a month, that the basketball court will be ready, and we'll have a ribbon-cutting ceremony. We'll hopefully invite many people in the county that helped to fund this, and we should thank them. As far as building and maintenance, anything you want to mention to now, or are we
no, everything's
okay.
Good.
So, is there anyone for the speaker that would like to mention something?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Do you have anything for the spirit?
Nope.
Okay. Ms. Nugent, anything for? I guess I'll make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Greenwald, in favor. 4-0-1. We are adjourned. We'll meet you all again in October.